Critics say President Bush was pushed into a more adventuresome foreign policy, the war in Iraq, for example, by a small group of neoconservatives. The president does have several advisers associated with that school of thought, though they play down their influence. NPR's Michelle Kellerman explains.
The term neoconservative is a bit of a misnomer. It originally referred to a group of intellectuals who turned away from their leftist beliefs after the 1960s. But today it refers to Reaganites who opposed détente with the Soviet Union. Robert Kagan says the movement also rejects realpolitik, with its emphasis on balance of power rather than human rights.
We think that our foreign policy should promote democratic government and liberal principles around the world. And also that American power, although it can be misused, is generally a good thing for not only the United States, but also much of the world.
In the late 1990s, Kagan and a couple of other neoconservative thinkers started the Project for the New American Century. They were promoting what they called benevolent hegemony, encouraging Republicans to become internationalists and to use American influence and power to shape world order.
We were basically trying to fight against a trend in the Republican Party, which was neo-isolationist, I guess, as long as we're using all the neo words. Because Bill Clinton was intervening overseas, the Republican Party was increasingly turning against intervention and against involvement in places like Bosnia and Kosovo and Haiti.
The Project for the New American Century wrote letters about the need to topple Yugoslavia's Slobodan Milosevic, Iraq's Saddam Hussein, as well as sideline Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, all of which eventually became U.S. policy. Many of the signatories are now members of the Bush administration. But Kagan, author of the book Of Paradise and Power, rejects the notion that a small group of neoconservatives is influencing the president. Kagan describes a different dynamic. President Bush came to office talking about the need for a humble foreign policy. Kagan says 9/11 made neoconservative ideas seem more relevant, just as other major events in history elevated particular schools of thought.
In the 1970s, when the real neoconservatives were pushing for a more confrontational approach toward the Soviet Union and were having mixed results in the era of détente, and then the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, and that had a pretty seismic effect on opinion. And I think that's what happened in the case of September 11th.
Walter Russell Mead, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, says the ideas the neoconservatives promote have resonance in the post-9/11 America.
There's a kind of an impatience with international law, international institutions, that is culturally widespread in the United States and also a key element of neoconservative thinking.
A professor at the University of Southern California, Ronald Steele, says the neoconservatives have also been successful in promoting their views through magazines like the Weekly Standard as well as Washington think tanks.
A kind of intellectual ferment is taking place there that's really lacking on the left. I think this is a very vibrant intellectual movement.
Steele believes it's a school of thought that will be with us for some time.
Until the Democrats are able to provide a coherent alternative, or until the cost of doing this, trying to please the world, begins to seem overwhelming. The British Empire was kept going for such a long time because it was a profitable institution. That doesn't seem to be the case with ours.
And that's where the more traditional Republicans have problems with the neoconservatives. Clyde Prestowitz served in President Reagan's Commerce Department and recently wrote the book Rogue Nation, American Unilateralism and the Failure of Good Intentions. He says the neoconservative foreign policy smacks of neo-imperialism and is hard to sustain.
If you insist on being the hegemon, if you insist on being the lead actor in every crisis or in every area of conflict in the world, you become the target. You occupy a country because it was a threat, but then you find that that occupation then generates opposition, and then there are more threats. The logic here is kind of ever-increasing expansion because you have to wipe out more and more threats.
In the Bush administration, neoconservatism is just one school of thought and not always the dominant voice. Though neoconservatives mistrust multilateral institutions, for instance, the president did go to the United Nations before launching war in Iraq. And he's now involved in a Middle East peace process with the UN, European Union, and Russia. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.